Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Malachi. Now, Malachi is the last book in the Christian Old Testament, and I believe his name means messenger, and this is his message. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I think this is probably my favorite book of the Bible. And it's also, that's my favorite verse in the Bible, which is part of what I'm reading today. So listen to what Paul writes. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. I think it's probably safe to say that most people in our country, including most Christians in our country, don't really know and understand Advent. Advent is that time that comes before Christmas, but in our society today, we jump immediately to Christmas. In fact, we jump really soon now. It's sooner and sooner each year. You know, now before Thanksgiving, the decorations and the advertisements all begin. And people don't even know what Advent is. And so we need Advent, because Advent is a time that we slow down. A time that we prepare ourselves for Christmas. But we prepare for more than just Christmas, because Advent is that time of looking back to when Christ was born and the life that he lived and the death that he died and his resurrection. But it's also that looking forward, looking to that time when he will come again, the second coming, the day of the Lord. In Jesus' day, they were eagerly waiting and expecting and looking for the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. They were waiting for this Messiah that would come and shake up everything, shake up the world. And indeed, Christ came and he did shake up the world, but not in the way that they were expecting. They were expecting a general to ride in on the horse and lead the army to wipe out the Romans, restore Israel to its greatness. They were thinking of a king who would sit on an earthly throne and rule the people. Even Jesus' closest followers didn't understand the ways that Jesus came to shake up the world. But Jesus didn't come to lead that army or to sit on that earthly throne. But he came so that we might have life, that Christ might live within us and shake up our lives. And in the process, shake up the world. But we don't tend to think much about the second coming. And I think part of that is because when you read about it, it's all about disasters. It's wars and famines and earthquakes and all kinds of man-made and natural disasters. And it sounds like a terrible time. And we who live fairly comfortable lives, we don't want to be disturbed by those ideas. And therefore, we may give a little lip service to the second coming, but we really don't let it affect how we live. Now, that wasn't always the case in my life. I remember in my last years of high school and then into my college years, the book, Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, came out. And that book spoke of Jesus' coming and Hal Lindsey was able to take the current events of the day and the prophecies found in the Bible and bring them together and make it sound like Christ's coming could be any moment. The fact that Israel had become a new nation, the fact of the Cold War and the threat of atomic bombs and all these things made it look like, hey, Christ could come now. In fact, I believed, and I think he certainly implied in that book, I haven't read it in a long time, implied in that book that the coming of Christ would be sometime in the late 1970s or the early 1980s. Well, we know that didn't happen. But part of what was still left to be done, according to that book, was the fulfillment of the Great Commission, spreading the gospel throughout the whole world. And that's one thing I could do to participate in what needed to be done. I could share my faith with other people, and I was all about that. Let's get the gospel out. Let's get it spread throughout the whole world so Christ can come again. Well, then I took off to seminary. One of the theology courses I took, half the course was dealing with the second coming. Boy, who knew that there were so many different interpretations that one could have about the second coming? My only interpretation had been the late great planet Earth. And now here were all these other ones that were being thrown out at me. And my seminary, what they love to do is they love to give you all the different views, options, and let you pick for yourself what you believed. I just found myself getting more and more confused by all the different options. And I think I determined at that time, and I still hold today, that if you ask me about the second coming, what am I going to tell you? I have no idea what's going to happen. And I would say that they got it wrong the first time he came. What makes us think we're going to get it right for the second? When you read the New Testament, read the whole Bible, but when you read the New Testament, and you read especially what Jesus said concerning the second coming, what Jesus says is of primary importance is that we be ready, that we watch and we be ready in how we live. In fact, he kind of says it's foolish to try to predict when it will happen, but that you live a life that is ready for it to come at any moment. We don't always live that way, I don't think. Again, we live nice, comfortable lives. and it talks about all these other disasters and things, terrible things coming, and we just don't want to think about that. But there it is, right there in Advent. We look back, we look forward. And we need to do that. And that's where our two scripture lessons come in. The one from Malachi, where he talks about the coming of a messenger. And for Advent, we know, we recognize that messenger coming to be John the Baptist. The one who came to prepare the way for the Lord. He is the messenger. But what I really got out of that passage as I was preparing this message was how we are being refined as gold, being refined by fire. You know, all those gold bars you see, they didn't come that way. They came mixed in with other minerals and dirt and all kinds of things, and they had to be purified. And I was told one time, and as far as I can tell, this is at least the way it was done in old times, they would put the gold along with all the other dirt and minerals and whatever in a crucible and have a long pole on it, and they would stick it in the fire because it has to get very hot to melt the gold so that gold and the other things can be separated and many of those impurities would be melted off. But you had to be careful when you did this because you could burn the gold away too. So the refiner would have this long pole and the crucible in the fire, and the refiner would pull it out and look at it and put it back in. Let it heat up some more, and then pull it out and look, and then back in. And over, the refiner would do this until finally, when the refiner pulled it out and looked in, he or she would see their face reflected in the gold. And once they could see their face, they knew it was pure. And that's what God is doing with us, refining us. In our Philippians passage, I told you my favorite verse, very similar to the refining passage in Malachi, when Paul wrote, "For I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus." That God is at work in our lives, purifying our lives, burning away the things that are not pleasing, and making it to the point where when the refiner God looks into the crucible, God's reflection is right there. The reflection of Jesus is in our lives. And that's that refining process that we need to go through. Now, I don't plan to speak for you in this. But when I think about that refining fire in my life, there are outward actions that I do that need to be purified. But probably more than just the outward actions are the inward attitudes that need purification. What are the ones in my life? The insecurities that I have. The jealousy that's there, the lust, the pride, and the list goes on and on, being judgmental of others. That list inside of me that needs to be purified is there. And while I might not be speaking for you, I suspect you have your own impurities that need to be burned away. And so we go through this Advent season, slowing down to remember the Christ who came that we might have life. Remembering the things that he taught, the ways that he lived, the example that he gave, but then also remembering that he came to die on our behalf, to die for our sins. but then that God raised him up for new life. And this Christ is the one that lives within us and that has us looking forward to what is coming, to when Christ will return, and what began so early, so long ago, will be completed, where God wins in the end and creation is restored to its glory, and we will be purified, made into the image of Christ. And the good work that God has begun in us will be completed in that day of Christ Jesus. So as we come to Advent, let me encourage you to slow down. Christmas will get here. What is it? The 9th? It's coming the 25th. It'll come in its own good time. But let's take time to remember the God who loved us so much that he sent his son to live among us, to die for us, to be raised from the dead victoriously so that we might live, so that we might be able to look forward expectantly, hopefully, with love and joy, so that we might follow Christ. I said earlier that in my earlier days, I put into practice what I believed about the second coming. I went and shared my faith so the Great Commission could be fulfilled, so Christ could come and it'd all be over. Well, I don't hold that excitement of second coming so much now. But I think that we are to live expectantly. And how do we do that? We do that by seeking to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth the way it already exists in heaven. We seek to do that by loving those who we might find unlovable. We care for the least in our society, those that are looked down upon. We meet and we gather as a church to worship the Almighty God, but also to support and equip ourselves that we might be able to do ministry on the front lines. Because when you're on the front lines, that's when the fire starts to burn. And we know all of us are going to face fires. That's just life. But when we work with God in our lives and allow God to purify us, I think the fires might not be quite as hot as they are if we resist. So we seek to serve the Lord our God, and we work with God to let God refine us so that we might become the people God wants us to be. I believe that's the Advent story. We look back, look forward, but we live in somewhere in the middle, but we seek to live that life that is being refined by fire so that we might reflect the image of Christ. Let's take a moment to pray silently and reflect how we might work with God as God is refining our lives, those things that need to be burned out, those things that help us to move forward as we look back and we look forward. So let us pray, and I'll say amen in a moment.
Yeah.